I'm Catherine Hadro. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, Operation Spiderweb. Ukraine launches an unprecedented countrywide assault on Russia's Air Force. How it impacted today's peace talks. Targeted attack, a makeshift flamethrower, and Molotov cocktails used as weapons on a Jewish community. What we know about the suspect. Run for cover. Tourists flee after a massive volcanic eruption in Italy. And family matters. Pope Leo XIV explains why families are the cradle of the future of humanity. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us. Our top story tonight, an incredible, unexpected drone attack by Ukraine deep into Russia could impact chances for peace. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says President Donald Trump is open to joining in-person negotiations as the administration works to end the war for good. Owen Jensen is at the White House.
Good evening. Today, I was able to ask the White House press secretary about that attack, which caught Russia by surprise.
Ukrainian officials say Sunday's attack, damaging or destroying more than 40 Russian warplanes at faraway air bases across three time zones, took over a year and a half to plan. Ukraine's president praised the operation.
A brilliant operation was conducted on the enemy's territory against military targets only, against equipment that was used to deliver strikes on Ukraine. Russia has had very tangible losses, and justifiably so, as they deserved it.
The White House responds.
What's the president's reaction to that Ukrainian drone attack, stunning drone attack on Russian air bases? I'm sure he saw that. What's his reaction?
Well, look, the reaction is this war needs to come to an end. And this war has been brutal from both sides. Too many people have died. And the president wants this war to end at the negotiating table. And he's made that very clear to both leaders, both publicly and privately.
And Russia just fired the biggest number of drones, 472, at Ukraine since the war began. Meanwhile, efforts to end the fighting. More peace talks between both sides held in Turkey. No major progress reported, though they did agree to swap thousands of dead and wounded troops. And the United Kingdom just announced a major buildup of military equipment to counter the threat posed by Russia.
We are moving to warfighting readiness as the central purpose of our armed forces.
Prime Minister Keir Starmer says the UK will build thousands of new long-range weapons to add to the strength of NATO.
The NATO alliance means something profound, that we will never fight alone.
Later this week, President Trump welcomes new German Chancellor Friedrich Merz to the White House. Ukraine will be one of the key issues they discuss. It'll be their first in-person meeting. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
For more on the Ukraine-Russia situation, I want to bring in retired Brigadier General Mark Kimmett. He formerly served as Assistant Secretary of State for Political Military Affairs, serving under George W. Bush. Thank you for joining us. The Ukraine-Russia talks come one day after Ukraine launched an unprecedented drone attack targeting Russian military bases thousands of miles from the front lines. These were launched from inside Russia. How complicated is that?
Well, I think the president, President Zelensky, said it took months of planning. And to get that capability across the border without being detected and still stay in command and control of all of those weapon systems at the same time, I think it's a real masterstroke on the part of the Ukrainian military, although candidly, I don't think it's going to have a significant effect.
General, there were no major breakthroughs at the talks, but they did reach an agreement to trade prisoners. How do you think the attacks impacted the peace talks? Did it change the tone at all?
Oh, I don't think so. Again, a brilliant raid, but it will not have any tactical effects on the battlefield. And it certainly won't have any effects at the negotiating table. They've discussed issues much harder than this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Russia is bowed or bent at all by that attack.
Mm-hmm. What do you think Ukraine did achieve with these attacks, militarily speaking and even psychologically?
Well, militarily, it took out a significant amount of the Russian Air Force. Not a large amount, not even a fraction of their entire Air Force, but certainly psychologically, that's what had the greatest effect. Mm-hmm. This has been a slog. This has been a stalemate for quite some time. This is about the only breakthrough in terms of improving the morale of the Ukrainian people, which need to be complimented for putting up with this war for the last 3 years.
Mm. Would it be possible for the Ukrainians then to replicate this kind of attack?
I don't think so. It is certainly going to be the case that the Russians are going to look hard at what happened and prevent it from happening again. But I'm certain that the Ukrainians will be able to come up with another good trick, completely different way.
Mm. Retired Brigadier Mark Kimmett, thank you.
Thank you.
Eight people are injured in what the FBI is calling a targeted terror attack in Boulder, Colorado. This is the man police have identified as the suspect. Investigators say 45-year-old Mohammed Sabri Solomon yelled, "Free Palestine," when he attacked a group of people gathered to call for the release of the Israeli hostages held by Hamas. The FBI says Solomon used makeshift flamethrowers and Molotov cocktails.
It was very strange to just hear a crash on the ground of a bottle breaking, and then sounded like a boom, and then people started yelling and screaming.
Archbishop Samuel Aquila of the Archdiocese of Denver released a statement after the attacks saying, "I'm deeply saddened this evening to hear of the attack in Boulder, especially as it seems our Jewish brothers and sisters were targeted. This type of violence must come to an end as it only fuels hatred." And joining us now is Ben Cohen, a senior analyst at Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Ben, thank you for joining us. What does this attack in Boulder, Colorado signify to you?
Well, good to be with you, Catherine. I think what it signifies for me is that we are dealing with a surge in anti-Semitism, both in the United States and globally. And the concrete result of that is that Jewish communities outside Israel are now extremely vulnerable. They have become a front in what is a multi-front war. You know, Hamas launched this war on Israel with its massacre of October the 7th in 2023. We've seen that war spread to Lebanon, to Yemen, to Iraq. Israel has to deal with all these Iranian-backed proxies. But there's another proxy, if you like, a Hamas proxy, which are these demonstrations, the Palestine Solidarity Movement that has emerged over the last 18 months. And increasingly, that movement is now turning to violence. Mm.
On that point, Ben, this attack comes less than 2 weeks after an Israeli couple was shot and killed in Washington, D.C. And in both of these cases, the attackers shouted, "Free Palestine." Do you think, Ben, that these are separate attacks, or is there a bigger connection there?
They maybe have been coordinated separately. I have no evidence of coordination between these different attackers. But ideologically and politically, they are intimately linked. I think you could also add that just a month previously, in April, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, his mansion was attacked by an assailant who was also shouting "Free Palestine." Mm-hmm. This was on the first night of the Passover holiday. His family, his wife and children were in the mansion at the time. Yesterday's attack in Boulder took place on the eve of Shavuot, mm-hmm. which is another Jewish holiday. So, yeah, this is an extremely worrying situation. And when we hear demonstrators chanting, "Globalize the Intifada," or more crudely, "We don't want no Zionists here," mm-hmm. The Jewish community has been interpreting that as a violent message for months. Those concerns have not really been addressed properly. And now we saw the fruit of that, sadly, in Washington recently, and we saw it again in Boulder yesterday.
As you've been saying, studies have shown there has been a significant rise in anti-Semitic incidences over the last 10 years. Speak to why you think that is.
Look, I think anti-Semitism is at least a 2,000-year-old virus, and it's not very original in terms of its ideas. It's essentially a crude, ugly conspiracy theory. But anti-Semitism and anti-Semites are very good at adapting that ideology to fit different circumstances. And what we're seeing now is this presentation and this demonization of Israel as the world's worst rogue state, and that if only Israel wasn't there, we would have some kind of global peace. Many of the people that have become extremely animated about the Palestinian issue don't care about human rights issues elsewhere. They're not interested in Ukraine. They're not interested in Sudan, where there is an appalling famine raging right now. They're just picking on this Palestinian issue because it's a way to channel that historic hatred of Jews.
Ben Cohen.
It arises in every generation, unfortunately.
Ben Cohen, we appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Health officials in Gaza say at least three are dead and dozens of others injured after Israeli forces opened fire. It happened this morning near an aid distribution site. Witnesses say the same thing happened in the same area yesterday morning as well. The Israel military said it fired warning shots today towards suspects who posed a potential threat to Israeli troops. Now to Italy and a spectacular display of the power of Mother Nature. Mount Etna sends a cloud of smoke and ash several miles into the air. This incredible footage from Sicily looks scary. Officials say there is no damage to the population, though they did raise the alert level at a nearby airport. Mount Etna is Europe's most active volcano. It stands 11,000 feet high and is a popular spot for tourists. We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly. Find out why China says the U.S. is provoking frictions. Welcome back. In Poland, a 42-year-old conservative wins the presidential election.
Niech żyje Polska!
Karol Nawrocki drew support from many of Poland's pro-lifers. Though the presidential role is largely ceremonial, he is expected to push back on proposals by Prime Minister Donald Tusk, including the legalization of same-sex marriage and expanding abortion to the 12th week of pregnancy. The White House says President Trump and Chinese President Xi will likely speak this week as trade tensions seem to be mounting between the two nations. The Chinese Commerce Ministry is accusing the U.S. of, quote, provoking new economic and trade frictions. This comes after President Trump claimed on Friday that Beijing had violated last month's trade truce. A key point of disagreement has emerged as China has not lifted export restrictions on rare earth minerals and associated products. U.S. officials have described the talks as stalled. This week, the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, filled with President Trump's domestic policy agenda, moves to the GOP-controlled Senate. A handful of Republican spending hawks are criticizing its price tag. They say it could grow the national debt by trillions of dollars and cut billions from safety net programs. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales has more.
Good evening, Catherine. I spoke with sources inside Senate Majority Leader John Thune's office. They tell me right now Republicans are simply gathering viewpoints before actually debating the issues on the floor. One of the early sticking points are cuts to Medicaid. That issue came up at a weekend town hall hosted by Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa. Now, she got into some hot water when she tried to explain that Medicaid fraud is what Republicans want to stop.
1.4, they are not eligible, so they will be coming off. So we all are going to die. So for heaven's sakes.
She said, quote, people, we are all going to die. She later tried to clarify her remarks.
I'm probably not wrong there. I have yet to be disputed that we are all going to meet our maker. In order to protect those dollars for those that are truly vulnerable, we need to make sure that we're taking the fraudsters off of the rolls.
Democrats were quick to pounce.
Yeah, I mean, Joni's a colleague, somebody I've worked with, but it does tell you a lot about this bill. I think everybody in that audience knows that they're going to die. They would just rather die in old age at 85 or 90 instead of dying at 40.
Both sides have their issues with the bill, some saying there are not enough cuts, others saying that there's too much money going to the military. The Senate version calls for an additional $150 billion for national defense.
Work reporting requirements is very good at kicking people off of their health care. It's not good at incentivizing work at all.
This is a bill by the military-industrial complex advocates who are padding the military budget. There's going to be a lot of extra money. Look, the president has essentially stopped the border flow without new money and without any new legislation.
But a majority of Republicans say they're confident the bill will pass.
It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be messy. But we will get it done because it is the main vehicle for us to deliver on the mandate from the voters. We are going to secure the border. We're going to rebuild the military. We're going to cut taxes. And I hope and believe the Senate is going to cut spending more than the House.
Congressional Republicans are hoping to have the bill to the president's desk by July 4th. Now, if the Senate makes any changes, it will then have to go back to the House for final approval. So the clock is ticking fast. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, a hiccup on the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage. As pilgrims march with our Lord, they're heckled by protesters with megaphones. Where it happened and how they are responding. And a special message from Pope Leo XIV, the one thing he says is critical for the future of humanity. The 2025 National Eucharistic Pilgrimage is underway, and in Tulsa, Oklahoma, marchers were met with protesters shouting anti-Catholic slogans. The demonstrators sometimes use megaphones to amplify their message. Still, tens of thousands of pilgrims took part in the Eucharistic procession, and church leaders are asking the faithful to respond to the protests with peace and prayer. The procession finishes later this month in Los Angeles. A new study released by the Pew Research Center shows one-third of American adults take part in New Age practices at least once a year. These practices include tarot card readings, fortune tellings, and astrology. However, most of them say they only took part in these practices for fun. About 1% said they used them for guidance in life decisions. EWTN's Abby Galvan recently discussed the dangers of these practices with a well-known exorcist.
Joining us now is Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, priest and author of the new book, My Confrontation with Hell, Real Demonic Encounters of an Exorcist. Monsignor Rossetti, thank you for joining us. First off, can you tell us why Catholics should avoid these kind of practices?
Well, Abby, for example, the Bible is very clear. It calls divination, and that's what these are, divination, using occult practices to try to appear into hidden knowledge and hidden powers. And the Bible calls it an abomination. Very strong word, an abomination. Why? Because it's a portal to the demonic. People don't realize it, even if you think you're doing it for fun. The reality is when you do divination, actually, you're making an implicit contract with Satan. You're saying, I want this hidden knowledge or hidden powers, and obviously I'll give something of myself in return.
Now, Father, it seems like the interest in New Age spirituality can be seen as an interest in the transcendental itself. Do you agree, and do you think there's opportunity for evangelization?
Well, we all should be involved in the supernatural. The Christianity is a huge opening, of course, to the demonic and the angels and the saints and all those sort of supernatural graces, but it gives us a safe path to do so. There's a path of light and a path of darkness, and Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, as the scriptures tell us, and people might think they're doing good, but when they're not using the Lord, the one true God, they can get themselves into a huge spiritual jam. And frankly, as an exorcist, I've seen a lot of disastrous cases because of it.
Monsignor Rossetti, when people feel this temptation to turn to astrology or fortune tellers or tarot cards, what recommendations would you give them to fight this temptation?
Well, the first thing I would say, Abby, is that our desire to connect with this spiritual is a good thing. It's part of who we are as human beings. But we need to then recognize what's a good way of doing it and what's not. Tarot cards, divination is all a very dangerous thing to do. So what do? Read the scriptures, receive the sacraments, do a Catholic Christian meditation, go to Eucharistic adoration. There's lots of spiritual things that we can do, and you can become enlightened in a real Christian way.
And lastly, can you tell us about your new book?
New book. Yeah, well, yeah, My Confrontation with Hell. Basically, I talk about these sorts of things. I talk about people come to us spiritually afflicted and how they got that way. And basically, we start people manifest the demonic, and there's a this spiritual battle. Now, the good news is Jesus wins always, you know, and his beautiful mother, that Jesus and his beautiful mother casts out the demons. But it's a fight, and people don't realize that demons are real. Jesus said so. He crushed Satan's kingdom. So hang on to Jesus, and you'll be fine. Make a contract with Satan or start going into the dark world. It gets very ugly, and it's a very difficult case to exercise.
Monsignor Rossetti, thank you for the work that you do.
My pleasure, Abby, and thanks for what EWTN does. It's a wonderful ministry.
Thank you. On Sunday morning, St. Peter's Square was packed with families for the concluding mass of the Jubilee of Families. Pope Leo reminded couples marriage is the measure of true love, total, faithful, and fruitful, and prayed that united in Christ, we may all grow closer as one family of God. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Settergren has more.
Under a cloudless sky, Pope Leo XIV entered St. Peter's Square to welcome the thousands of people to the closing mass for the Jubilee of Families, children, grandparents, and the elderly. The cheering crowds anxiously awaited to hear the Pope's words on this special occasion.
Tutti siamo una sola cosa.
In his homily, the Holy Father stressed that Christ prays that we may all be one. The Pope said that we are here to be one in our families as it sets an example to the world.
Si tratta del bene più grande che possa essere desiderato.
This is the greatest good that we can desire. For this universal union brings about among his creatures the eternal communion of love that is God himself, the Father who gives life, the Son who receives it, and the Spirit who shares it.
Che la condivide.
The Holy Father pointed to the fact that several spouses have been beatified and canonized, not separately, but as married couples, making them exemplars for today's world. He pointed to Saint Louis and Zélie Martin, the parents of Saint Thérèse, and the Olma family from Poland, a family of nine who hid Polish-Jewish families and were later executed for it, saying that the marriage covenant has a transformative power that can change the world.
Tale preghiera del Signore.
That prayer makes fully meaningful our experience of love for one another as parents, grandparents, sons, and daughters. That is what we want to proclaim to the world. We are here in order to be one, as the Lord wants us to be one, in our families and in those places where we live, work, and study. Different, yet one. Many, yet one. Always, in every situation, and at every stage of life.
In ogni età della vita.
Tens of thousands of pilgrims had traveled from all corners of the earth to participate in the Jubilee, to walk through the holy doors and unite in prayer as one family in the church. Across the city, various churches and squares hosted cultural events, exhibitions, and special family-friendly activities for all ages. At the Church of Santissima Trinità dei Monti, families were not only able to take part in concerts and games, but also to venerate the relics of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux and her parents.
Dico che è un privilegio.
To be here is a blessing. And to be able to spend more time as a family and, let's say, to be here on this day to take part in the Jubilee of Families with my husband and my daughters.
We are all together and it's love and everything. This is what makes the family.
With my whole family, my husband, my in-laws, and our little boy. We came specifically to give thanks for the gift of family and for having a family. Because nowadays, it's not something guaranteed, but something taken for granted. To have a family, a beautiful family, and a united family. So we came to give thanks to the Lord. Pope Leo encouraged everyone to root their love in Christ, which can bring peace and unity to the world.
Carissimi, se ci amiamo così,
dear friends, if we love one another in this way, grounded in Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, we will be a sign of peace for everyone, in society and the world. Let us not forget, families are the cradle of the future of humanity.
In Rome, Benedicta Adegrian, EWTN News Nightly.
We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Catherine Hadro. Good night, and God bless.